I'm joined now by Congressman Andy Barr to talk more about that. Congressman, first of all, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on the program.
Yeah, I really appreciate you taking a few minutes. I know you're very busy. When you spoke at Keeneland on August 31st, you mentioned the word uniformity, and you referenced the industry's patchwork structure when pointing out the fact that our sport has 38 separate racing jurisdictions, each with their own set of rules and regulations, which certainly doesn't lend itself to consistency or uniformity. And I think at its core, that's the reason so many people feel this type of bill is imperative to the future success of our industry. So if you would, Congressman, let's start by walking through some of the key elements included in this bill.
Great. Well, let me just say, you hit the nail on the head. We do labor as a sport, as an industry, under this patchwork of inconsistent and conflicting rules. It really just doesn't make sense. The National Football League, the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, there's not the same level of variation of rules. We want a level playing field. We want horses that race at Keeneland and then subsequently race in Maryland or New York or California or Florida, we want them to be racing under the same rules. And we don't think that, just like we don't think football games should be played differently in different states, we don't think thoroughbred racing should be a sport where you have different rules in different jurisdictions. So that's one compelling reason to support this. And obviously, because of the issues with safety, because of some of the indictments that we've seen with doping, because of the problems that we saw with racetrack surface safety issues and some of the breakdowns, we want a safe sport both for the equine and the human athletes, because that's the right thing to do, obviously, and also because we want to attract a new generation of fans. Handle is the name of the game, and we want more horse players in our business, in our sport. We want to bring new fans, and that obviously benefits the industry generally when you talk about breeding stock. I have the privilege of representing the horse capital of the world and the over 400 breeding operations here in central Kentucky, and we want to be able to market and sell our yearlings to the world, and we want our product to be a product that we all can be proud of, and that investors around the world will be interested in. That, and that means jobs and economic activity for our people.
Well, the other thing you mentioned on August 31st was the fact that this has been a process. It's been a long road of negotiations, which have taken place throughout the entire process of putting this legislation together. What specifically were the most challenging aspects?
Well, I think your point about USADA is one of the issues that was a sticking point that we were able to broker a compromise to bring on support from some of the key racetracks like Churchill Downs to garner the support of Senator McConnell. So we have a identical companion bill now in the U.S. Senate. And you're right, this new proposal, the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act, it builds on the success or builds on the momentum that we've been working on for the last 6 years. And I say we, meaning Congressman Paul Tonko, my co-sponsor of this legislation from New York. He represents Saratoga. Obviously, I represent Keeneland. But we think that the changes have really been improved the bill. And while we keep USADA part of the legislation from the standpoint of the enforcement entity, the criticism that you referenced of USADA being kind of a human athlete enforcement agency or anti-doping agency, that criticism really doesn't apply here, because we maintain that the authority that we create has expertise from within the industry, four members of a board, of a nine-member board, five independent from outside of the industry, but certainly four experts from the industry. And then we have committees, we have a committee for anti-doping and medication, and then we have a standing committee for racetrack safety. These will include 7 members each, split of 4 independent and 3 industry members. So we absolutely maintain that industry representation is important, and the expertise that they bring to this from the standpoint of horse racing specifically, thoroughbred racing specifically, we're going to have that expertise on the authority. And USADA is no longer, under this compromise bill, no longer actually members of the board, but rather they will have a contract, a 5-year agreement, to give USADA the ability to handle the day-to-day enforcement. But the authority, ultimately, with industry representation, the authority will be setting the rules, overseeing lab testing, and handling violations matters.
Visiting with Congressman Andy Barr here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, discussing the new legislation that has been introduced in the Senate and into the House of Representatives, the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act. Congressman, one of the things that was brought up is that this bill is about, it's not about more legislation, but it's about smarter legislation and creating a single nationwide set of rules, which for years this industry has desperately needed. It is a fragmented industry, as we talked about, the patchwork structure. In what you've learned since beginning this process, why has the horse racing industry been unable to find a way to do this on its own for so many years?
Yeah, this is not new. We've been talking about this in the horse racing industry since my grandfather was attending the roundtable meetings, the Jockey Club roundtable meetings back in the 70s and 80s. He was in public relations at Keeneland Racecourse for many years in the 1950s, and then he was the vice president of the TRA, the Thoroughbred Racing Association, in New York in the 1970s and 1980s. And this topic of bringing the industry together, bringing all the various constituencies together under one league or one uniform authority, this has been talked about for decades, including back when he was in the business. So I recognize that this has been a long time coming, but I think this is a major, major advance of the industry generally, when you can get the Jockeys Guild, the breeders and owners, the Jockey Club, the Breeders' Cup, the various racing associations, the racetracks together, many, many horsemen, many equine veterinarians also now on board, and bringing all of those disparate and varied interests and constituencies together, I think that's a major accomplishment. And what I'd like to see this legislation be a springboard for is getting the industry to do a better job collaborating and coordinating on marketing of the sport. You know, the fact is there's a lot of competition out there for the entertainment dollar. Certainly that's the case in the sports world. And we want to see horse racing, you know, come back as one of the more popular sports in the United States. And I think if we are all singing from the same song sheet and we're all, you know, pulling together as an industry as opposed to fighting each other all the time, I think more Americans will see this as a great American sport, the great American sport that it is, and I think be more interested in following it. And we've got so many great stories, especially in recent years with 2 Triple Crown winners in the last several years with American Pharoah and Justify. I mean, we need those stories to attract a new generation of fans. And if we can ensure integrity and safety, and if horse players know that when they bet on a horse at Keeneland and then they bet on that same horse later at Oaklawn and then later again at Santa Anita, and that horse is operating under the same conditions and the same rules, I think you'll instill greater confidence in the betting public and in fans of horse racing. They know it's a process, it's fair. They know that they're betting on the horse based on its talent, its skill. And I think it's going to be just a stronger sport and a stronger industry overall as a result.
Yeah, amen to that. Congressman, what do you tell individuals who take the opposite stance and say, whoa, wait a minute here, we don't want to see any kind of government intervention when it comes to horse racing?
Well, I think it goes back to the point that you made earlier. This is not about more government or more regulation. I'm a small government conservative, and my co-sponsor is very different politically, and that's maybe unusual in these times in an election season to see that a liberal Democrat, Paul Tonko, and a conservative Republican, me, from Kentucky collaborating on bipartisan legislation. But I think that's a great thing, and it shows that we're not interested in more government or more regulation. In fact, what I would argue is we're actually talking about streamlined regulation, less regulation. Instead of 38 different sets of regulation, we're talking about a single national uniform set of rules, which I think is better regulation. It's more effective and streamlined regulation. So it's not about more rules or more government or more bureaucracy. It's about streamlined rules that make sense and that will more effectively really allow the industry to thrive under these baseline medication rules and track safety rules. I think that is a positive thing for our sport, positive thing for the industry.
What are you most proud of with this bill, Congressman?
You know, I'm proud of the fact that we never gave up. We are heading towards a vote on the House floor next week, and it was not too long ago that people said this is a losing effort, this is a losing cause, there's no way you can do it. They've tried for decades, and it never worked. And I think it speaks to the power of persistence. I think it speaks to the power of hard work, and I think it speaks also to the ability to listen and compromise. I mean, we had different versions of this bill early on in the process, but I maintained that it was important to be open-minded and to allow the industry to direct this. And when there was disagreement, sit down and have all the parties come together and make those decisions on the details that would bring more people to the table and increase the coalition of support. We did that. We allowed that process to work. And through persistence and determination and an attitude that we were never going to give up, I think we are where we are, and we're really on the precipice now. I would even say the home stretch, if you will, of this long effort to get us to where we are. And I think we're going to be better off as a result, and I think you've got more and more people who now see the value in this reform effort.
Well, I know you have a busy schedule. I'll let you go. I promised 15 minutes, so I'll get you out of here. But I want to, first of all, say thank you to Senator Damon Thayer for putting us in touch. And thank you again for taking the time, Congressman. It was wonderful to hear your thoughts on this particular bill and this legislation. And we'll see where it goes from here. But greatly appreciate the visit this morning.
Hey, great to be with you. And thanks so much for highlighting this important issue. I am a huge horse racing fan, and I am so excited that our industry and our great sport is taking a great step forward, and here's to many, many more years of a prosperous thoroughbred racing industry.
Yeah, well said. Thanks, Congressman. U.S. Congressman Andy Barr here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.